Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We are in Quran chapter 13, as we have seen that is one of the chapters of the Quran which we do not know where it was written or when it was written. Was it in Mecca in the early days of Muhammad claiming to be a prophet, or in Medina after Muhammad migrated from the city of Mecca, meaning in the last 8 or so years of his life? So let's move on in our study to verse 7 of Quran chapter 13. For there we read, "And those who became infidels say, were it not that a sign had been sent down on him from his Lord, surely you are only a warner, and to every people is a guide." This is a repeated verse in the Quran. We see that Muhammad have put that throughout the pages of the Quran concerning himself, not concerning any of other prophets. Why? Because as Muhammad repeated some of the Bible accounts in the Quran, he actually told us about many of these prophets who performed miracles, as in the case of Moses, or as in the case of Jesus. Even other made up stories of prophets Muhammad inserted in the Quran, like the story of Prophet Saleh or Prophet Hud, or whatever prophets Muhammad made up story of, they also performed some miracles. But when it comes to Muhammad, according to the writing of the Quran, he is the only prophet who did not perform any miracles. And what do we see here? We see that the people who did not believe in Muhammad simply asked for Muhammad to prove to them that he is a prophet. And I see it is very amazing that even Muslim scholars do not understand what it is to be a prophet. They are assuming that a prophet is a person who is sent by Allah to warn the people. And that is the message of this verse, which is repeated throughout the Quran, not realizing that prophet is the man who prophesied. The people of Mecca, the infidels, want to see from Muhammad some evidence that he is a prophet. But in the same time, Muhammad did not prove to them that he's a prophet by any miracle. On the other hand, we know from the scripture, not every prophet in the Bible had performed miracles. But we know the true prophet in the Bible is a man or a woman who prophesy, meaning tell the future. And their prophecy must be fulfilled. Add to that the most important test, because even false prophets can prophesy and their prophecy will be fulfilled, but the true prophet is different than the false prophet, that he or she will lead the people to worship the true God of the Bible. Now, obviously, Muhammad did not perform any miracles and he did not give any prophecies. Therefore, I do not know what to say to my dear Muslim friends. And once again, let us look at the interpretation of Quran chapter 9 and verse 7 from the great Muslim scholar Al-Tibri, who stated, "Those who became infidels told Muhammad, were it not that he have received a miracle from Allah, a sign, or anything to prove that he is a prophet?" As the great Muslim scholar Al-Tibri went to some other verses in the Quran to share with his Muslim audience, as it was written in Quran chapter 11 and verse 12. That is, when Allah said, "So perhaps you are leaving some of what is being revealed to you, and your chest is stressed by it, that they say, were it not that a kinz," which is an non-Arabic word, means treasure, "had been sent down on him, or an angel came with him. Surely you are only a warner, and Allah is guardian over all things. So in Quran chapter 11 and verse 12, the people want Muhammad to do some great things, do a miracle to prove to them that he is a true prophet from Allah. And what they were asking there is very simple, that Muhammad will receive a treasure from heaven. Also, we see in some other locations in the Quran, the people asked Muhammad to turn some of these mountains to gold or plant some huge gardens and water all over the desert where Muhammad and all the infidels were living. And what is so amazing in this verse here, that is Quran chapter 13 and verse 7, that the reason Allah will not send miracles through Muhammad, or the reason Muhammad will not perform any miracle, because he's just a warner. But wait a minute, I thought all Muslims believe that Muhammad is a prophet and a messenger. So as Muslims see it, prophet is a man who will perform miracles, as we have seen in the case of Moses and in the case of Jesus in the Quran. So why not Muhammad? Is he still a prophet? If yes, why didn't Muhammad do what Jesus and Moses, the other two prophets, did, which is simply perform some great miracles? But let me share with you another good reason why Allah did not give Muhammad any miracles. And that is what is written in Quran chapter 17 and verse 59. For there we read, and nothing prevented us from sending the signs except that the ancients denied them. Did you hear what Allah said? Nothing prevented Allah from sending miracles or sign on Muhammad except that the ancient denied them. Which ancient is Allah talking about? Because I can go to Moses' days and I will share with you from the Quran that Moses performed miracles, and not only his people believed, but even the sorcerers, these are the Egyptians who did not believe in Allah, who did not believe in any god before Moses, they also bowed down and worshiped. That's why Pharaoh was upset with them, because they accepted and believed in Moses and in his god without getting the permission from Pharaoh. So I'm sorry, I don't know, did Allah have some old timer disease and he cannot remember what he said in the Quran concerning ancient prophets and the people whom they were sent to? But as you see, this is a problem we have in the Quran, that Allah will give an excuse, and that excuse is not true for many other cases. First of all, Muhammad did not receive a miracle from Allah or a sign from Allah because he was just simply a warner. But how can people believe that Muhammad is a true prophet unless he proved to them that he is a prophet? As we've seen here in Quran chapter 17 and verse 59, the story is a little bit different. The reason Allah did not send signs or miracles to Muhammad is because, well, what's the point? Allah sent it before in the past and people did not believe anyway. It's like, why even will Allah send miracles or signs with any prophet if he know, as Allah is a knower of all things, that people will not believe? But that was not the case in the case of Moses. That was not the case in the case of Jesus. As a matter of fact, not only Allah said in the Quran that Isa, son of Mary, performed miracles and people believed in him because of his miracles. Actually, we know that Allah created in the Quran miracles for Jesus, and he did not do according to the Bible. Yes, in the Quran, Isa, son of Mary, made bird out of clay when he was a little boy, and that was a great miracle. When in reality, we know from the Bible that Jesus did not perform any miracles until he was after the age of 30. And the first miracle Jesus ever performed was to change the water into wine in the wedding of Galilee. What is so amazing, how Allah ended Quran chapter 13 verse 7 by making another astonishing statement, which is a falsehood, as Allah stated, and to every people is a guide. I'm sorry, I did not see Allah send any prophet to the Chinese people, or to the people of Russia, or the people of South Africa, or the people of the North and South America continent. I mean, where can we find any truth in the Quran when we examine these false information with reality and we see it does not work?
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
As a matter of fact, when we read the Quran, we see that Allah stated in the Quran that the prophethood and the guidance and the book were given to the children of Israel, the Jews, which is 100% true. As we see that in Quran chapter 29 and verse 27, where Allah said, and we granted him, that is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we assigned, that in the past tense, the prophethood and the book to his descendants. So a prophet must be a Jew as a descendant of Jacob, and the book must be given to a Jew as a descendant of Jacob. Let's move on to another proof in Quran chapter 45 and verse 16. For there we read, and indeed we gave, that is past tense, the book and the wisdom and the prophethood to the children of Israel. So actually, when I look at the Quran and I examine whom Allah assigned and gave the prophethood, I see it to be clearly the Jewish people, the descendants of Israel. But somehow, Muhammad forgot what he wrote about who are the prophets whom Allah sent to this world, and he inserted himself as a prophet, when in reality, he is not one of the descendants of Jacob, Israel. So, going back to Quran chapter 13 and verse 7, when Allah said, and to every people is a guide, that statement is not true. For, as I said, there are plenty of people, groups around the world, throughout man's life, who have never received a guide or a prophet or a messenger. And the truth is, according to the word of God in the Bible, prophets were only Jewish people, even though sometimes God sends them to Gentiles, as, for example, in the case of the prophet Jonah, whom God sent to the Gentiles, which are the people of Nineveh. But we never see anywhere in the Bible that some Gentile, not a Jew, was sent as a prophet or a messenger to any other people group. So, in simple words, in Quran chapter 13 and verse 7, Muhammad could not prove that he is a prophet because he did not perform any miracle. But amazingly, when we go to the following verse, that is verse 8, we see a miracle. A miracle in the Quran to prove that Muhammad is a prophet. Or we can say openly, it is a foolishness information from which we know for sure that Muhammad was not a prophet. Nor were there any of those whom Muslims call scholars to be someone with logic or common sense. And let me share with you what Allah stated in that verse. Before even I read to you Quran 13:8, I would like to read to you the bold statement which is written in my translation of the Quran. For there we read, according to Muslim scholars who interpreted the word of Allah in the Quran, a woman in Islam can be pregnant for a lengthy of time from 6 months up to 4 years. Yes, indeed, you heard me right. In the Muslim world, a woman can be pregnant and the baby will survive and live if the mama was pregnant for 6 months or up to 4 years. And that is what is accepted by majority of Muslims, because believe it or not, some other Muslim, they will tell you there is not actually a limit for how long a mother can be pregnant, even up to 10 years. Here is the word of Allah, Quran 13:8. Allah knows what every female bear and how much their wombs lessens and enlarges, and with him everything is by measure. Now I want to read to you the interpretation of so-called Muslim scholar to that verse. According to the great Muslim scholar Ibn Kathir, he gives us a break of the days of pregnancy, which itself is another nonsense. As Muhammad taught the Muslim believers, as we read by Ibn Kathir, that a baby is gathered inside his mother's womb for 40 days. And that is what we call Natfa Amshash, the mix between the white fluid, which comes from the backbone of the man, and the yellow fluid, which comes from the breast or from the bones of the chest of a woman. These two fluids mixed together inside the mother's womb for 40 days without any change. Then after that, somehow, miraculously, Allah will change these two fluids to congealed blood, which is the second stage of pregnancy, and that congealed blood would be inside the mother's womb for another 40 days. And after that, somehow, miraculously, Allah will create out of the congealed blood a piece of flesh, which also stay inside the mother's womb for 40 days without any shape or any change. Then Allah will send an angel, is known in Islam to be the angel of the womb. And he will be ordered to write 4 words, and he will write it, which is the sex of the baby, the provision of the baby and its age, and also his work. Will the baby be happy or miserable? After that, the angel will shave that piece of flesh, which did not have any shape until the age of 120 days, by making head and hands and legs the normal structure of a baby's body. And then the angel will breathe life into that baby. And then the angel will close his scroll and will come out of the mother womb. And now we know that we have a living baby. Up to 120 days, there was no life whatsoever in that thing which was inside the mother's womb. That is actually the interpretation of that which is written in Quran chapter 23 and verse 14. Now we know that the mama is pregnant. Now, what is the shortest time for that mama to have for pregnancy and the baby will be born, it will be okay? And what is the longest time of pregnancy and the baby will be born and will be okay? That is the miracle of the Quran, or the miracle of Muhammad. For according to the great Muslim scholar Al-Qurtubi, we read, scholars disagree about how short the length of pregnancy can be and how long the length of pregnancy should be. But to make it short and sweet and simple, the scholars of Islam stated that a woman can be pregnant as little as 6 months and the baby will be born and will continue to live. And here I must disagree, for it is impossible 1400 years ago in Muhammad days for a woman to have a healthy baby after 6 months, when we know that they did not have the health care which we have today. And the longest time of pregnancy, scholars disagree. And I'm going to give you some names here. For according to Jamila, the daughter of Sa'd, who said that Aisha said that the longest time of pregnancy is 2 years. But according to Al-Lays ibn Sa'd, he stated it is 3 years. And Al-Shafi'i, which is another school of thought in Islam, 4 years. As for Malik, which is another school of thought, he stated 5 years. Who also stated no one can say more than 10 years. But Al-Zahri stated 6 or 7 years. And some of the companion of Muhammad stated 7 years, The Kufi stated 2 years, but Muhammad ibn Abd al-Hakim stated not more than 1 year. And David stated 9 months. Can you imagine with me? Those are what Muslim claim to be scholars of Islam. When we talk to the Muslim and we say, how can you understand the Quran when it is written in very ambiguous way and so many of the verses are solid confusion, they say, oh, no problem whatsoever. We have our scholars who will help us to understand the Quran. And I will take these wonderful Muslim believers to Quran chapter 13 and verse 8, as I will read to you again. Allah knows what every female bears and how much their wombs lessens, that is the least time of pregnancy, and enlarges, that is the longest time of pregnancy. And with him, that is Allah, everything is by measure. And we go to those so-called Muslim scholars and they give us that great interpretation. 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 7 years, or even up to 10 years. How in the world we call these people scholars? And we count on them to help us to understand the verses of the Quran? That is beyond my imagination. So, my dear friends, Muhammad did not perform any miracles, as we have read in Quran chapter 13, verse 7. But he gave us a great evidence that he is not a prophet, and his so-called scholars are not scholars. That is when we read verse 8 and its interpretation by so-called Muslim scholars. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.